Chapter 25, Journey's End. We're all on a spiritual journey. I've been on mine a long time. As I write this, it's been over 70 years since I started my pilgrimage of faith with God as a boy of 12. Where you yourself have got to, only you can say. But I hope that what I've written may have helped you escape a purposeless existence and through Jesus make a start on your own journey of faith. I urge you to keep moving. Don't get too comfy and settle down. Continue seeking God with your whole heart, talking to Him all the time, learning and growing in your faith. Along the way, there will be lots of questions, many of them permanently unanswerable. That's no surprise, since we're dealing here with a God who, while intimately with us in Christ, is at the same time utterly other and transcendent. Questions like, what about people of other religions? Can God reach them too? Yes, He'll be there for them as they live up to the understanding they have. He's keen to include, not to exclude. Was it God who killed Jesus at Calvary? No, it was people who killed him. But mysteriously, God used his crucifixion to bring life and victory. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Is death the cut-off point for connecting with God? I see no reason to think so. He remains forever open and welcoming, but there's no time like the present. Is hell real? Not if you're thinking of a Dante's Inferno-style place. If there is a place of ultimate separation from God, only those who choose to be there will be there. Personally, I live in hope that his relentless love will eventually draw all to himself. What about all the people who lived before Jesus and those today who live their whole lives without hearing about him? That's God's problem, not yours, and you can be sure he has somehow made provision for them. Maybe he'll use you to reach some of them. Those are just my own current thoughts, arrived at from the sometimes puzzling biblical data that we consult when trying to answer such questions. My advice would be to not get caught up in the imponderables. Just get on with living in the good of your connection with God. Learn to press on humbly, content with the light that you do have, and avoiding too much introspection by constantly reaching out in service to others. Meanwhile, read the Bible. It's not an easy book, but worth sticking with. As you read, remember that technically it's not a book, but a library of books, of many different genres, by many different authors, and from many different periods of history. It needs to be interpreted wisely if you are to get a balanced overall picture from it, but your church should be able to help you with that. Sooner or later, of course, you will die. What happens then is in God's hands, and you can trust him. The not guilty verdict already declared over you will still stand. It's Jesus' performance, not your own, that is the guarantee of that, so you have nothing to fear. Maybe you're wondering what heaven will be like. If being in heaven means being in the presence of God, enjoying the lovely fellowship of the Trinity, it's going to be amazingly good. Put out of your mind the stereotypes that get bandied around, like wearing a one-size-fits-all white robe, walking on golden pavements and twanging a harp, or floating around on clouds wearing a pious expression. I'm sure that appeals to you as little as it does to me. But trying to say what it will be like is a waste of time. It's just going to be brilliant. More importantly, heaven is not the final destination. Go back to where the whole scenario of life, the universe, and history started. God's purpose to be in unbroken fellowship with human beings, who would care for the world on his behalf, making it a cosmic temple where God and his people would enjoy everything good and glorious forever. In spite of human failure, he has never abandoned that purpose. One day it will come to fruition. That's the final destination. This is the bright and appealing future that we touched on earlier, the kingdom in all its glorious fullness, God's dimension and ours, heaven and earth, united at last, his presence pervading everything, endless peace, purpose, joy, challenge, creativity and fulfillment, and all in a deliciously down-to-earth environment, in a renewed creation that the Bible calls the new heaven and new earth. No more pain, sorrow or tears. No more death. Dogs that don't bite, I think, and maybe teddy bears. Part of your purpose here and now is to move things along in that direction. With the Holy Spirit's help, you can be like Jesus, touching those around you with love, warmth, encouragement, and hope. You can push for justice and integrity in public life. You can speak to the powers that be, challenging them not to abuse their clout. You can set up toddler groups, food banks, hospices, or whatever to improve people's lives. We won't put everything to rights, of course, but the time is coming when, as God himself moves things along, Jesus will return to give things the final push and bring in at last what the Bible calls the age to come. The age to come is a funny old thing. In one sense, it's here already, overlapping with this age, because it was inaugurated by the Christ event, as we saw. It's been chugging along ever since, sometimes making great strides in its improvement of the human condition and the state of the planet, at other times failing dismally and seeing things slip back a bit. But we are to remain optimistic about its continuing progress in this age, doing our bit to help it along. But when Jesus returns, as the angels promised at his ascension, this age will come to a decisive end and the age to come will be fully upon us in all its consummate splendour. Ah, happy days! With such prospects, serving others today is a delight and a privilege. So is worship. It's easy to raise your voice in songs of praise to a God who has given you such great and precious promises. But life today won't all be sweetness and light. Some people, some dark forces will scratch and spit, hating the fact that you are Christ's representative. They may even kill you, just as they killed your Lord and Saviour. But he has drawn death's sting, and the end of this life becomes simply the gateway to something far better. You can't lose. So, be honest. As you come to the end of this book, where are you at? Have you connected with God in a decisive way yet? Can you see the passing funeral cortege or the view from the mountaintop? And breathe a meaningful prayer now because you know and love him and have his perspective on things. Can you talk to your child about the speed of light and the vastness of the universe, knowing now that the unfathomable Creator God is also your loving Father? Or do you still have some way to go? If so, take your time, but keep seeking God. He'll never give up on you, so the least you can do is not give up on seeking him. Whether you consider yourself a believer or not, speak to God in prayer. Ask him your questions. Tell him your frustrations. Even if you feel you still have to start with, God, if you're really there, be happy. Be blessed.